And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
And we're doing Will's. Is that in the second show?
The second show, I think. Wrap this pot in cheesecloth. Bury it in the woods.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jervis with the mushrooms on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounty guest?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is November 8th, 2015. This is episode 134, coming from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gofrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about the games against Detroit, Boston, Miami, and Cleveland. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Crisp, cool fall day here in the district. Things are good in Pacerland and in Coltland. And Xavier basketball kicks off this Friday, so... Go Muskies.
Shout out.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, is our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles, John Coulson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Real quick shout out to Pops Coulson, who received his minister's pin today. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the disciples tradition, but it's kind of like a, you know, entered the Hall of Fame, whatever, Lifetime Achievement Award, so it's a pretty big deal.
Wow.
Yeah. Mom received hers her first year of eligibility like 10 years ago, but dad, more in line with like the Bobby Slick Leonard, was passed over many times and now is finally in the ring of fame like he should be. So shout out to Pops.
Congratulations.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Sweet. Now there will be no icy stares at the dinner table anymore.
That's right. Now they can both wear their pins. I think dad might wear his to bed tonight. I don't know. He's pretty proud. It's pretty cool.
That sounds dangerous.
It does.
Congrats. Congrats. That's great.
The company from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
Hey, what's going on, boys? A good week of Pacer basketball to talk about. Did want to shout out Pep Hamilton. Parted ways, the Colts did with him this week as offensive coordinator. I think everybody on that team, front office and locker room, would say that we owe him a lot, going all the way back to his days at Stanford with Luck and Fleener. So he'll be missed. Really good guy, but sometimes you got to move on. And we got a good win today. So cheers.
Cheers. Yeah,
cheers.
Way
to
take down the undefeated
huge win.
Broncos.
Somebody had to do it.
Miles
and
we said
Peyton 3 yards short of the milestone.
Yes.
thanks to a PI, which maybe we did on purpose just to keep the record out of his hands.
A hell of a catch either way. So.
Yeah.
Do you think that Andrew Luck, this is the first time he's looked at a different playbook in the last 8 years or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't make any huge changes, I don't think. For me, I felt like they changed the playbook up on them 2 weeks ago, and they were trying to get them to play a little bit more West Coast. And it's still the same playbook. It's just the play selection.
Sure.
But, yeah, he looked a lot more comfortable today. He was making much better decisions, and he looked in a rhythm. Yeah. I think maybe he's finally getting over his injury a little bit, and the play calling definitely helped.
He looked great when he wasn't sandwiched between two Bronco defenders. Yeah. It scares me watching him.
That was
play.
Every play.
I know.
Well, that's he doesn't slide. I mean, he recovered so many third downs by running, but, man, he just gets hammered at the end of those.
Yeah. I was watching Cam Newton on they played on Thursday. Man, that guy takes a freaking beating too. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing those guys are big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doug Flutie does not take those hits.
No.
Wanted to start this show off with our question of the week. And I don't know if you guys have taken a look at the standings recently, but when I looked, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, and the New Orleans Pelicans are all winless. Who is the last one standing?
Or the last one, Harper, laying down?
Yeah, the last one laying down. Harper, you picked the Knicks to win zero, and it's not them. So who which one of these three is going to be the last one to win a game?
Boy, you'd love to say it's not the Pelicans. They're far and away the best team out of those three. Probably the Nets. They're bad, and they look confused. The Sixers, I feel like, are trying, which maybe is even sadder. I don't know.
Well, but the Nets actually have professional basketball players on their team. They just don't fit together in any way.
Johnson.
Right. Jarrett. Jack and yeah. Thaddeus Young. Whereas I feel like the Sixers, as per their use, are mostly college, glorified college players, right? So kind of makes sense that they're 0 and whatever. But I agree with you. I think it's the Nets, man. I think that organization is just defunct. As predicted here, they will be the worst team in the National Basketball Association.
Yeah, whichever those, it should be one of those two teams, and I think you said that it would be the Nets, but it could be tied. So sure. You're off to a good start with that prediction in any case.
It's the only one I got right. So.
I'm gonna disagree with you, gentlemen, just based off the schedules. Philly, their next six games are the Bulls, the Raptors, the Thunder, the Spurs, the Mavericks, and the Pacers. Brooklyn has a little bit easier road. They play Charlotte and the Kings and stuff like that. So I'm not saying that Brooklyn's not the worst team in the league, but I think they're going to get a win before Philly does. Yeah. And I think New Orleans is, the best team of those three. So I'm picking Philly.
I mean, it's just tough to say because those two teams, no matter who they play every night, unless it's each other, the other team is better. Every night.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we should. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to have them play. I don't know when that comes.
Yeah, when.
Up,
yeah, I was gonna say when do they first play? That might be the only way to decide this thing.
Are we gonna run into some issues or new terminology when some of these teams, you know, you get a scheduled loss? Are these going? These teams gonna get a scheduled win? We got four.
Like, what is going to happen? Some team's not going to show up, and they'll get a schedule win.
We'll find out this year. Yeah, I do want to see which one, when the Nets and the Philly play. It's got to be pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't actually want to watch it.
Yeah, can we skip that one? Tell me what happened.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, whenever you want. That's the sound of the not all that fast. Great.
So four games this week. The first one, November 3rd, Indiana plays at Detroit. Guess what, guys? I picked up a win, 94-82. Jason, you know, last week you said you thought Drummond was going to get 25 rebounds. He actually got 29 rebounds that game.
Oof. Yeah, it was off.
He's a beast.
You were thinking
he was amazing
points.
That game.
He got 25 points.
He did get 25 points, 29 rebounds. crazy stats. He's the league leader in rebounds right now.
He had 11,
29 rebounds.
Yeah, 11 offensive rebounds, which is more than any player had of total rebounds on our team. Amazing.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, well, they lost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they threw up so many bricks that he could get 11 offensive rebounds.
They got one field goal make from their bench. One.
Crazy.
That's not a very deep team. But we're on the board, guys.
Yeah, we off are the schneid.
Yeah. And I
defying
had predicted
Colson's prediction.
Exactly.
That we were gonna...
I had predicted we were going to lose until the Miami game, I believe. So I'm glad I was wrong on that one.
Yeah, the Pacers clearly used that as bulletin board material. Showed up, took it to Detroit. On the road, no less. This mm-hmm. was a solid game. What was different? What did we do different, guys?
I felt like it was our second unit, one, mostly because of their second unit's ineptitude. I mean,
yeah, no, that helps a lot.
Godney Stuckey just came out and killed, man. 23 points, 9 of 14 shooting. I felt like we played with much more defensive intensity as well. I thought that was the thing that a lot of the guys were talking about in the locker room, is that, you know, the shots will come and the shots will go, but the thing that you can bring every night is effort on the defensive end.
15 steals.
Yeah. Very active, getting out there. Just being disruptive, which is, if you're going to play small ball, that's what you got to do, right?
Yes. And Jan Mahinmi only got 5 minutes in this game, but Jordan Hill and Lavoie Allen both filled in admirably. Obviously, nobody did a damn thing to slow down Andre Drummond, but you know, like I said, we've been getting beat up at the five all season, so it is what it is.
And he's been doing that to people all season as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's leading the league in rebounding, so.
Yeah, he was also 12 of 17 from the floor.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Even for Andre Drummond.
True.
Maybe not for Montrezl, but pretty good for most players.
Yeah, you would think he's horrible from the line. Just foul him and send him to the line. They only did that like once in the game.
But we shut pretty much everybody else down, so. All in all, a great effort. It was good to see and just good to get on the board.
Yeah, on the board. And, you know, we were all kind of sad last week. And, you know, you get one win, everything starts to feel a little bit better. So
that broke the ice and set the Pacers in the right direction. The next night, Pacers come home to play Boston. They got another win, which was awesome. Close one, 100-98. Tell you what, man, Isaiah Thomas was super annoying that game. 27 points, 7 assists. Man, he just, every time the Pacers got something going, he would come back and just hit a shot. Every time.
He got a lot of open looks.
He did. Well, he can hide in plain sight with his.
Exactly. It's like a running back hiding behind the O-line. Just coming off screens, you just lose him.
That's right. I mean, I think the revelation in this game, I guess it was two things. It was Paul George had a breakout game.
Yes.
He actually shot the ball for the first time all year. And freaking my man,
Jordan
who
Hill.
I've been telling you guys is the best player in the NBA all year, Jordan Hill.
That's my boy.
No. Everybody on this show has had his back from day one.
Well, where did this guy come from?
No, in Harper's defense, he actually has had his back.
Has, and you were right, sir.
Yeah, we've been you know, throwing dirt on him. You know, those first three games were rough. This kid, he's legitimate. He's useful. He's, you know, I mean, he's almost a legitimate basketball player. It's pretty cool.
It's one good game and you change your song.
No. It wasn't two. Just this game. Yeah, exactly.
Two of the games.
Two and a half games. Yeah, I mean, 16 and 10, and was
50%
pretty
shooting.
Active defensively, yeah, I thought. You
I
know,
thought so, too.
Caused some problems, defended the rim decently well. I thought, really, that the other thing that came out of this game was earlier in the season, we were asking, well, I guess when we did our Pacers preview, we were asking, did Glenn Robinson III jump Solomon Hill in the rotation? And during this game, we got our answer because CJ Miles was out. So the minutes opened up, and Glenn Robinson got those minutes, and Solomon Hill did not.
And played well, you know.
Yes.
10 points in 19 minutes. Efficient scoring. So.
Yeah. All very helpful things, but Jason, you're right. The headline here is Paul George. We talked a lot after the injury about, you know, the psychological effect of having such a gnarly injury and all that kind of stuff. And they did a sideline reporting or a little interview, mini interview with Paul George about, you know, the psychology of coming back from that injury and his comfort level. And it was clear in this game that he was starting to really feel comfortable making real basketball plays, not looking timid, you know, willing to go into contact. And it just made a huge difference. I mean, that guy, when he is confident and stroking the ball, he's as good as anybody in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought the other story was, Jan Mahimny had gotten injured in the previous game, and he sat out this game. And we went with the Jordan Hill, LaVoy Allen starting front court, and then Paul George at the three. And, you know, sort of abandoning that Paul George at power forward move. And that could have been a matchup because of the Celtics, or it could have been because, coach didn't like the way that, Paul George lines up without Jan Mahimny next to him. But that changed the dynamic of the team, and that could have been part of why Paul George was more comfortable.
Potentially.
Certainly, yeah.
It's a little strange happening I've never seen before, and all the basketball I've watched was right before halftime. Celtics would go for the long Jay Crowder's inbounding it under his own basket, goes for the long a long assist to just a tip in at the other end, and ends up sinking it.
Cans it
from out of bounds on the other side. He's out of bounds, so it doesn't count. That was the most exciting not counted basket I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Yeah. Sharpshooter Jay Crowder.
So were you at this game, Joey?
I was, and the fans actually kind of gave like a standing ovation.
Sure.
Yeah. But weirdly, could have been super costly, right? Because it comes back, so that after that, the Pacers got the ball back right under their basket and got to take a last shot of the half. True. I mean, they missed it, but...
Right. That's a risk I'm worth taking. I think it's worth
I think the other thing that we should talk about in this game is that we had talked to the first week about how against Toronto and against Memphis, we were in games close down the stretch, but we couldn't quite execute on either end of the floor, and that cost us the game. And in this game, I wouldn't say that we were perfect down the stretch, but we definitely executed a lot better and made plays when we needed to. And the very last play... some very staunch defense from George Hill and Paul George to challenge Isaiah Thomas and force him into a really tough look to win the game or whatever.
That's a nice team D and individual D. Yeah, really.
And I thought offensively too, one of the things that we figured out this week is who our point guard is. And that turns out to be Monte Ellis, apparently. Mm-hmm. 8 assists in this one. It just turns out that having the ball in his hands and having George Hill coming off the screens like we've been begging for years is something that's really working out for us. They both look pretty happy. Monte Ellis hasn't had a shooting stroke, but he's getting his contributions with dimes. I mean.
Yeah, you're right. He does, you know, my concern at the beginning of the season was that he was going to take the ball out of George Hill's hands in a way that disrupted the offense in a way that sometimes Lance used to do. But on some level, this is a positive thing. You're right. We have been asking for this. Let's give George Hill an opportunity to shoot the ball. He's a better shooter. He's better off the ball. This is a positive step in the right direction, I think.
It is.
Evan Turner had a nice game. Did we get any quotes from him at all? I don't know.
It was good to be back in Indianapolis, as always. It was good for me to hit some three-pointers, because I could never do that when I played for the Pacers.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that's why you're not on the team anymore, Evan Turner.
I'm just kind of sad for Brad Stevens. Why? Who's the best player on this team? I mean, I guess it's Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas is amazing.
Yeah, by far.
What about no,
stop there. Isaiah Thomas is not amazing. Isaiah Thomas is a good starter in this league.
No. He's the perfect like spark plug off the bench on a great team.
Yes. Yeah,
the fact
I'm
that he's starting on,
but
this
he's the
team
best
is...
player on that.
He's and he only started this game because Marcus Smart was out.
Exactly, so. Right. He is their superstar.
David Lee is on my fantasy squad, and he's not real good. I thought he was going to be awesome here. It's not really working out for him so far.
He's getting like 15 minutes a game.
But I mean, how bad do you have to be to only get 15 minutes a game on Boston right now? Like that's
David Lee bad. Mm. David Lee bad.
I think David Lee is saving his stuff for the All-Star game, which he's going to. Apparently.
Well, he's been so focused on getting his passport together tickets. I mean, the All-Star game's in Toronto this year, so there's a lot of logistics that he has
I'm just letting you know, I followed up with that prediction by drafting him or by bidding for him in the Fantasy League. I really believed that he was going to have a great
year.
You're
just doubling down on that.
Yeah,
huh?
I did, and it's not working out. I don't go to Vegas.
He's going to the All-Star game, but he's paying for his own ticket, and, you know.
Yeah.
He's there to.
Well, this is why we consider Isaiah Brad Stevens, you know, one of the five or six coaches, or about to be in that elite group of coaches, right? Because he dragged these guys to 41 wins last year. The same roster.
He really has made Evan Turner a useful player in the NBA, which just sort of boggles the mind.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Oh, well, good luck, Brad.
The next game, Friday night, November 6th, is Hickory Night. They take on the Miami Heat. They rebranded everything. You didn't see Pacers anywhere.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was crazy. Grady, when he called the team, he said, you know, it was a Hickory ball. Everywhere it said Hickory. You know, pretty cool montages, but... Pacers take the win, 90-87. It was a fun game, fun win. This game was in question late, and Pacers came up big. And Glenn Robinson III and not Solomon Hill make the crunch time five. This was fun.
Oh, this was so fun.
I love beating
the
Heat.
Chance.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Something just really nice about that.
And the MVP chance for PG.
There were some MVP. There's a little early in the season.
Well, I mean, he did score 36 and 12. Like, that's not
He had 11 in
three
the first
steals.
Quarter.
Oh, man.
Well, and he basically, anytime he was not on the floor, we were in trouble somehow. He went out of the game. I think the game was tied. He like picked up a two fouls early, I think, or something like that, and then we proceeded to like go down by 10, and then our second unit give those guys credit again did a really good job of clawing their way back. Jordan Hill again, double-double off the bench, Stucky until he got hurt, doing good things. All in all, just a good. Good team win. I thought we played decent defense sort of throughout. Didn't get up and down as much as I would like to see us do, but, you know.
That Stucky injury seemed pretty grisly to me. And they're saying it was just, a sprained ankle?
Yeah.
I think they said foot sprain is what I heard.
Yeah, it looked like he just destroyed his entire lower part of his leg to me, but whatever.
Well, I thought it was going to be at least a knee... strain, severe strain of something, if not a torn ligament in his knee. So to get out of that with a rolled ankle is like awesome.
Yeah. Well, the CJ Miles's quote was, "Don't worry about Stuck. He's a, I think it was like a human muscle or something. Like he's just entirely like, do not worry about him. He's just a beast." So,
yeah. Well, it's just one of those things where these guys are professional athletes, and part of that is, you know, being in such good shape that. They just have really flexible muscles and tendons and things, and sometimes you'll see stuff that looks really bad, but for you and me, it would be the end of our walking careers. For him, it's like a week absence. Yeah.
But
you see other things that are... Was it Brandon Knight? Was that the guy that tore his... Achilles, who did it from Detroit, like last year.
Oh, last year. Yeah.
Like, he was just basically moving towards the ball on an inbound play, and then he just...
Yeah. Well, that's how all those Achilles injuries happen. They all look really innocuous, but...
Yeah. I didn't see this, actually. I actually didn't see the one for Stucky, because they just... It was... I guess they thought it was gross enough that they didn't show it.
You didn't want to really see it.
They didn't show it again at the field house.
On the national broadcast, they showed it like 8 times in a row. It was disgusting.
Yeah, he like rolled it one way and then like tried to recover and rolled it the other way. It looked like it hurt.
But Joey, let's be honest. You couldn't have seen that play anyway, because you were playing the Paul George drinking game from your luxury suite.
Right.
And so... I mean, it would have been double vision anyway. So every play, it looks like somebody breaks their ankles.
Are you still hungover?
Oh, man. I actually ran the 5K the next morning.
Mm.
But I did okay.
Burning off, you know?
Yeah.
Good job.
We did the drinking game, and because we had the free beer, because I can't afford to play on my own dime.
Right, yeah. No one can. I don't think Donald Trump could afford to play that game.
It was pretty funny. My friends and family around me, every time they would make sure none of them got by. You know, if PG made a bad pass, they were on high alert because they knew he was going to complain about something.
My favorite was the one where he's like dribbling at the top of the key, and he dribbles horribly, and the ball ends up going out of bounds. And he's like complaining to the ref about like he got pushed or it's off this other guy. And I was like, come on, man. Like, you literally like dribbled the ball off your own foot out of bounds. You can't blame the ref for that.
No, that was a good win. And, Miami is going to be a solid team this year. They got a full strength Chris Bosh, Wade strength, Dwayne Wade.
Well, no, I mean, I thought what I loved about this game is that Dwayne Wade seemed old to me. Like, I mean, he's still good. He's still better than a lot of players in this league. But, like, he didn't scare me as much as he used to. And I'm hoping that continues to be the case, because screw that guy.
Yeah. Well, it came down to a last shot. We were up 198 with, a second and some change on the clock. The Heat inbounding, and Vogel shows some faith in George Hill, puts him on Dwayne Wade, forces in a tough fadeaway corner three, which of course he's never hit in his life. That's good to see. Wade, of course, thought he was fouled, but
no. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, I wasn't actually that nervous when Wade got the ball. Like, I feel like Wade might be broken.
Well, he's just not a 3-point shooter. The fact that if you're going to put the ball in his hands, it has to be
Let
something
going
towards the basket.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they didn't run the same play that they had run the previous two times, where they just run that guy around the screen at the top and get a free layup.
Yeah.
They ran it once, and then apparently we just didn't take notes on that in the huddle, because they ran it the very same play the next
out of a timeout.
Time. Out
like
of a
we
timeout.
Had time to talk about that.
Yeah.
Right.
We did nothing.
I mean, I guess Vogel put Ellis in, who was a little bit faster and could get around the screen a little bit quicker and make it harder, but
didn't really
still
help.
Still fouled him and got to the line.
Yeah.
So Wade may not scare you, Colson, but I'm a little bit afraid of Justice Winslow.
Hmm.
I think that kid is.
You liked what you saw from the kid?
I did like what I saw from that guy.
Yeah.
He's a basketball player.
And he's in their crunch time five already, which is good for him.
Yeah,
because I mean, Luol Deng is also a broken.
Yeah, Luol Deng is a shell of his former self. So,
I think that the Heat organization deserves a ton of credit. Not only for, I mean, Justice Winslow, that's a Krzyzewski product, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy has been well coached for at least a year, so he's a smart kid. He knows the game. But bringing along Hassan Whiteside, I mean, this guy was kicking around the D League for 8 years.
Yeah, he was like bagging groceries and stuff, right?
He was like playing in China, right?
No kidding.
Guangdong Tigers?
Real talk. Right? And the Heat pulled this diamond out of the rough, and they've turned him into a real force.
Truth. Yeah, he's putting up 20 and 20s already this year and stuff. Yeah.
Like, no,
he's sick.
They're a well-run organization. I guess I'll admit it.
Yeah. But, man, what a fun game. And, as good as Paul George's game previous to this one was much, much better.
Oh, my goodness, He deserved those MVP chants.
Yeah. And one of the things that he really did Yeah, John Barry called a great game in this. I don't think I've ever said that before, but he called a really good game. And one of the things that I thought he said that was really interesting was that, and I think we're going to talk about more about this maybe on the Thursday show, but it's one thing to talk about pace and space, but it's another thing to commit to it, right? Mm-hmm. And do it every time up and down the floor. And I think we have struggled a little bit with that. But one thing that Paul George did to really help us is he's getting into the lane and taking short jumpers, right? Done mm-hmm. a terrible job of getting to the cup, but at least if we can get those short mid-range jumpers from him, that'll open things up a little bit. It's the next best thing to get into the rack, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's getting in there and creating things, too, for other guys, which is nice to see.
Exactly right, because they're going to collapse. Mm-hmm. Collapse that defense.
I will disagree with you that John Barry... I mean, maybe for John Barry that was a well-called game, but I can't... I was having this debate with Sweet Jay on who's the worst announcer, or who is a worse announcer, John Barry or Reggie Miller.
Hmm.
I think John Barry is a little bit worse to me.
I actually like this one. I've, like I said, I've never said it before. Normally, I hate John Barry.
Okay.
But I thought he did a good job in this one.
And I mean, like for the record, hate, right? I hate like, to say it. You don't actually hate him. It's more of a sports hate.
Yes, it's a sports hate.
Right. Well, I mean, I've never met him, but
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
But I hate to say it, I think Reggie is the worst announcer.
Mm.
Mm. It makes me sad.
Maybe he needs maybe he calls really good games at the very end when it's close. And, yes. And he needs to just bring in the clutch call. Yeah, the clutch call. Maybe he's great at that. It's just in his DNA.
Yeah. And once again, 8 assists for Monta Ellis. This was just a lot of back and forth in this game, really fun to watch. And does that make 3 in a row, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a win streak.
That was a 500 at that point.
500 mm-hmm. at that point. We didn't win 3 in a row last year until 50 games into the season.
Wow.
So.
Here.
Cheers. Cheers to that.
Speaking of that, what are you guys drinking?
Well, it must be fall because I've got a Jubal Ale.
Mm, nice.
Who makes that one?
Deschutes.
Oh, that's Deschutes.
Yeah. Mm.
We all I'm also up. On the Deschutes.
Oh, yeah. Are you?
I'm back on that Chase and Freshies Fresh Hop IPA. I went back to my regular liquor store, Irving Wine and Spirits, and they had like 3 bottles left, and I took them all. So,
I haven't been able to find that. I think you ship me some of that, and I'll ship you some Jubal.
I don't know. I only got 1 bottle left, man.
Damn it!
If I can find it someplace else, though, for sure.
Are we getting kickbacks after naming an episode Chase and Freshies?
I'm just hoping not to get sued.
The bar's always low for Joey.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, Joe.
This week I'm drinking some Washington State Chardonnay from Charles and Charles.
I really thought you were going with Charles in Charge.
No, that's... I don't know. I feel like that's what I want to say every single time I look at it.
It's just like a muscle memory.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From watching so much Charles in Charge.
Right. Charles in charge of our day
and our wines.
And Coulson left. Coulson was curious what everybody was drinking.
He probably wanted to go get his Charles in Charge.
So he was thirsty. And then he ran away. They had nothing to add to the conversation.
What are you drinking this week?
So I am drinking The Few. It's a barrel-aged gin. And it was a gift to me as a sort of a parting gift when I left Pizzology from the staff there. It is tasty to my palate.
Watch out, Thursday show. John's already on the hard
way. Where is this from?
No,
so you're just rocking straight gin.
No. It's a gin and tonic. But, I mean, the thing is, it does have that sort of, it's got like a cedar taste to it, mixed in with the normal juniper and floral things that you expect with gin. It's very impressive. By itself, it definitely needs a tonic. By itself, it's a little much, but compliments.
Who drinks gin straight?
I don't know. Apparently, I don't have tonic, but I happen to have tonic tonight, so we're good.
I did once, then that was it.
Yeah, exactly.
No one does it twice.
Me too, because I was like 14 and I didn't know any better. But I don't think I've ever seen anybody go in a bar and just be like, gin neat.
Yep.
I don't think I would serve them.
I feel like one of those guys on Mad Men. Didn't he drink gin neat, basically?
No.
Or he drank a Gibson, which is like gin and...
Yeah, it's just basically chilled gin and vermouth.
Well, I mean, that's like
it's like a martini.
Onions.
It's like a martini.
Yeah.
We have one more game this week. Pacers travel to Cleveland, Ohio. Take on the Cavaliers. Came up just short, 101-97. This was pretty big duel, LeBron James and Paul George. Actually, there was some question of whether or not LeBron James was even going to play. He got a thigh bruise earlier in the week, but he came. You know, that's how he plays. You know, you're not sure he's going to play at all, and then he drops 29 on you anyway. The guy's still super, super duper good.
He's absolutely tough enough to play through injuries, but I think his organization is smart enough to not let him most of the time.
Yeah, this was a tough game. I mean, I thought we might be able to steal one because Cleveland played last night, actually, and LeBron is coming in a little bit hurt. But, I don't know. We just couldn't find enough offense. I mean, Paul George was amazing yet again, which is great to see. And I kind of forgot that this was the first time that he had matched up against LeBron since the injury, basically. So he definitely was up for this game, I think. And the other nice thing was Monte Ellis had a little breakout game here, scoring 25.
Yeah, on a good percentage, which is big.
I thought George Hill looked good, even though, I mean, his shooting percentage wasn't good. I thought he was active. I really thought the three of those guys were special in this game, and that should have been enough. But you're right. We needed something else. And we could not find that anywhere on the roster, unfortunately.
Sure. Well, there was just a lid on the bucket for us much of the second half. I mean, we just missed so many chippies. But, I mean, the good news is it felt like with Mahinmi and Turner out there doing a pretty good job from range, we were at least able to get into the paint. We're leading the league right now in field goals created from jump shots. We're like 65% jump shot field goals. That's not good. If we're going to play pace and space, we've got to find ways to get to the rack. And we are doing a little bit better at stretching the floor with the bigs, which you got to do if you want to play space. So I think that's good. We played this, this is a playoff team, possible title contender. Granted, they're without Kyrie Irving, but all the same, they got the best player on the planet. We played him to a standstill for, 47 minutes, basically. So on the road. Too.
In their house, exactly.
In their house, I mean, this was a really gutty effort, I thought, by our guys. If Jordan Hill doesn't go 3 of 15 on a bunch of really good looks near the bucket, we win this game.
The bunnies and chippies.
Bunnies and chippies.
Yeah.
Part D.
Part D. Yeah, I mean, we were without CJ Miles and Rodney Stuckey again. Yep. So that hurts the depth a little bit.
And, of course, Solomon Hill didn't play, so that really hurt our effort.
Well, but maybe that's where the it changes for us. Maybe if Rodney Stuckey or Miles had been there, we could have gotten an extra 7 or 8 points on efficient shooting, and this game's differently, So.
I mean, this is a really evenly matched game up and down the stat sheet, right? I mean, it's just... 48-47 rebounds, 45-43. We're both at 33% on triples. Like, it was a toss up. This game was
a toss-up. Just came down to the last 5 minutes, last 3 minutes, really. And they have LeBron James, and he can get into the lane and get to the bucket and get to the line. Basically, is what he did.
Yep.
For 4 straight possessions, and we couldn't quite respond completely. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Of note, referee Joey Crawford is forced to exit this game. I think because he started, he gets to extend his streak of 350 years without missing a game. But perhaps he'll take this as a sign that it's time to retire to Transylvania for a couple years and maybe leave NBA refereeing alone for a while.
Yeah. So my folks and I were watching this afternoon, and my mom kept being like, "Crawford's not even on the he's not even on that side of the screen yet. Like, why is he making calls down on the baseline? He was definitely struggling to get up and down the floor."
That's the way he refs anyway.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, it ended up that he actually was injured and had to call it a night early.
Yeah.
And Joe, you blame this loss on that fact, right?
I do. Yeah. Okay. You know, there was definitely, if you go back and look at the tape,
which you've already done multiple times now.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, some baskets.
Do you feel like there were some calls missed because there weren't three eyes on there? That's weird. Three sets of eyes is what I mean.
No, actually, all NBA referees new this year wear eye patches.
Oh, I thought they were all Cyclops.
Oh. One of the junior referees is a Cyclops. So, to make it even,
sure.
What they're doing is, everybody else has to wear an eye patch. You get to pick which eye you want to cover. So,
Jason, I also saw what you're talking about. Kevin Love's hair is weird.
Oh, it's so weird. And he's got like a weird porn stash, too.
Ooh, also, can we talk about LeBron's mustache? What the fuck?
Is that a mustache? I couldn't even tell what was going on.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe they're doing a Movember thing. I don't know. But yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, LeBron definitely is rocking a mustache.
He just and
still
check.
Has the weird hair implants or whatever to cover up his male pattern baldness.
Just let it go.
Just let it go.
Yeah. Just get an eye patch and nobody will look at your hair.
It's done Joey Crawford wonders.
That should be, yeah. I mean, to make things fair, LeBron should have to wear an eye patch.
That's true. Make him an
He'll probably still shoot 40% from the field.
even without depth perception. Any depth perception.
I guess a little bit, his three-point shooting is not good this year. His free-throw percentage, not good this year.
Oh, he looked horrible from the free-throw line.
Yeah.
In the first half, at least.
Of course, when it counted, he was ice cold.
Yeah.
Well, both teams shot terribly at the end of the day at 68%. I mean, it's amazing how close every statistical category is. It's really silly, but that should be heartening. I mean, this is a championship-level team.
True.
Yeah, and you can't count that as a bad loss. You go into a title contender's house and lose by four. That's not bad.
Right. And that while struggling to find your identity. So I'll take that as a character building game. And I think Frank felt that way about it too. We're probably about done with this game, but there were plenty of opportunities for us down the stretch when they were putting together runs, and Frank was just not calling the timeout, right? He wanted to make these guys power through those tough stretches. And that's about character building, and he knows that. And so, I'm okay with that.
Yep. That's a good point. I mean, George Hill, 0-5 from the range, and he's been our best three-point shooter so far this year. He hits one of those. It's a different ballgame.
But they were all at the top. They were all at the top of the arc. He wasn't getting those corners. Nice wing looks. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably enough for this one. Just one game. But anything else for this week, guys?
Do we have games coming up this week?
No.
Oh, do we?
That was it. That's the end of the season.
That's too bad.
Thanks for listening.
See you next year, folks.
See you in 2017.
We got three games this week. We got tomorrow. Or no, I guess tonight, as you listeners are listening to this. Versus the Orlando Magic.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this one.
In Bonkers Life Fieldhouse.
No longer
the Magic
well
are
coached.
Playing super well this year. Do not be... I think they're like 2-3, but they've been in every game against really good competition.
Right.
Wednesday, we play the Celtics again, this time in Boston. And then Friday, host the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Also playing very, very well.
All really good teams. Yeah, good young teams. This should be a fun week. See where we match up against, you know, teams kind of right in our level, honestly.
And I feel like we match up pretty well against Orlando and Boston, so those will be fun. Minnesota may be tough matchup-wise, but I feel like at least in the early going, Frank has done a good job of playing those matchups. Do you guys got a game of the week? What's your favorite this week?
I love Orlando. I'm a big fan of, you know, we went to Orlando, enjoyed the city, but, you know, All Depot, you know, what's the Aaron?
Alfred Payton.
No. But
Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon is on there. I love him. Valanciunas. They're no longer well coached, but I still think they're a fun young team, and I'm gonna enjoy watching them play.
Yeah. Well, if it was up to me, I'm fine with being outvoted because I love watching Orlando play too. They are fun. They're just an electric team. But Minnesota, man, with the youth that they got,
Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins, a budding superstar, Karl Anthony Towns, five games into his NBA career, or seven games. I think through his first five games, he had, it was something like 50, 20, and 10 or something. And there's only seven other players who had done that through their first several games. And it's company like Tim Duncan and Dikembe Mutombo. And it's probably like 80, 50, and 10 or something. But in any case, he's off to a strong start.
Are you going to give him a nickname because he's so good?
It's got to be the Big Cat. It's got to be.
I like it. I'm going to start. Well, let's start that as a pod. We can do that.
I'm evenly split between the Magic and the T-Wolves. Those are my two go-to NBA League Pass teams.
Yep.
Yeah.
Me too. Anytime that there's a chance to watch them, I turn those guys on.
Agreed. So it'll be a fun week for Pacers then, yeah.
Yeah.
3-0!
Yeah, all definitely winnable games. So it would be good to build some momentum early in the season, especially as we're still sort of figuring out our identity, I think.
Right.
And figuring out how all these chess pieces work together.
If we just lose the at Boston game, I'm going to wring somebody's neck. Be pissed.
Oh, that's going to happen. You know Brad Stevens is going to drop some play from Marcus Smart to hit a three at the buzzer. And
he's just going
to
use the same Goran Dragic play where they lob it in.
Yeah.
Completely unguarded under the net. He'll run that five times.
Yeah. He immediately emailed Spoelstra after he ran that play. He's like, that's fucking brilliant.
They never learn. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this show. We'll be back next Thursday with some longer form stuff. But you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us a message. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. We have T-shirts for sale.
529. That's how many games Bobby Slick Leonard won as a coach of the Indiana Pacers. He's now in the Hall of Fame. And in his honor, turn out the lights. The party's over.
You know, you say in his honor, but it feels like you're disrespecting.
Not at all. Never. Ever. Never. This is totally in his honor. Love that man.
I think that's for him to decide.
No, it's not. It's not. It comes from the heart, Bobby. It comes from the heart.
If it came from, like, you know, your vocal cords.
Yeah, you're supposed to sing from the diaphragm. Yeah.
Oh, that's why I've been having trouble. I'm singing from the heart, not the diaphragm.
You should have that looked at.
Maybe it'll change next week, then, now that I've learned this lesson.
You get some wires are crossed in there. Some tubes are...
You lift them with your knees, too?
Yes, I am. No, always with my back.
Okay. Yeah,
always with my back.
Just making sure.
And your neck?
And my neck.
I love that song.
I don't know how we get so much mileage out of that. It's funny every time.
Yeah.
All right, team.
All right. What drives a dog to drink, you know?
In my case, it's owner.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Geico's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than Geico. More power to you. Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.